2-1. Oh, my son Mayer will be happy. He was talking about Ford.
That's great.
They said that 5 after 8.
Mayer, oh,
I used to listen to him on the radio.
Who, Mayer?
Ford. Would come on and complain about the counselors.
Okay, anyway, let's learn. We want to finish at 10, and you go home and you'll hear all the results. I'm just going to sleep when I get home.
You're up at 4.
Been up since 4.
He has to say good day, gentlemen.
The what?
You have to say good evening, gentlemen. Before
good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Hilchos Yontif, Perek Ches, Halacha Hey, Chapter 8, Law 5, page 298-299. Mitzvah Hashem, we should finish these Hilchos Yontif this week, I hope. And next, we read next week, Hilchos Chanukah.
That's only the other book?
The other book. It's the other one. So it's 4 weeks that we finish this week. It'll be 4 weeks to Chanukah. So, Mitzvah Hashem, it's 4 prakim in Hilchos Chanukah, which should be. That's why you can really start getting the presents ready, Howard. Okay.
I bought some olive oil.
Hey!
It's on sale.
Achborim, we're talking about mice now. Achborim shemafsidin esoilanos.
We're talking about mice?
Mice are causing the trees to become lost. You know, they're damaging.
I just listened to Rabbi Shmuel class.
Right, they're terrible guys.
A while ago.
I know, but that's how far behind I am.
Okay.
Just this morning I listened
okay.
to
okay, anyway, study no Sambamoid.
You
can trap them on Cholamoid. And it's why? It's a Dover Ovid. You're going to lose your whole orchard. You know, be careful. Now, Bisteha Elon, if this is in an orchard, then Sod Kadarko, you can trap them in the normal way. Kate said, what is the normal way? Chofer, no. Chofer Vesola Matsuda. You dig a hole and you spread the net. And that's how they caught them in those days. But Vimhoya Sede Lavan Samuch Listeha Elon. But if we're dealing with a Ste Lavan, means an unplowed field. Okay? Where there's no sunshade, that's what it's called. It literally means a white field, because it's parched by the sun. It's got no trees to shelter it and give it shade. It's an unplowed field, we'll call it. And that's next to the orchard. So you want to be clever. The mice are about to attack, but they haven't reached the orchard yet. So a smart farmer will set the traps where? In the unplowed field that's adjacent to the orchard before they come to the orchard. So you want to put it there, then sudden also bistelavan, you can trap them in the unplowed field, but then it has to be bishinu. That has to be a little bit of a change, because it's not really that field that's in danger.
It's not imminent.
It's the field before. But you want to trap them kadesh, so you consul say alone, because you don't want them to go into the orchard, the achrivu, and destroy the orchard. So you have to do it with a shinui, with a change. But Kate said sud bishinu. How do you trap them with a shinui? Like this. No aids shapud boritz. You stick a shaft into the ground, umaka bakarim, hit it with a hammer, take it in a couple, feet or whatever, inches, I don't know. Then menaki, you pull it out, and voila, v'nimtzu makom aguma, and now you got a hole.
Instead of digging,
you just pound something in and take it out, and that's the shinui.
Can you still hang a net?
And then obviously you have to hang the net. If you don't hang the net, you're not going to catch it.
You mean you tell me that's how you catch a mouse? They just go crawl in a net, fall down into a hole?
Yeah.
Seems hard to imagine if you got stupid.
Okay, maybe they put some cheese at the bottom of the hole. I don't know. Anyway, the main point of law is you're allowed, this trapping is allowed to save the field. That's the main point.
Even mice traps don't want
to. But, Kosel, maybe mice weren't so smart in the days of Gomorrah. Kosel, Gina, Shinafa, the wall of a garden that falls in. Right? Now, when the wall around the garden falls in, there's not such a concern of such a great loss. Robbers don't have a lot to rob in a garden. So what do? So you still need to fix it. So boneo masa hedjot. You build it with an unskilled way. What's that? You put rocks on top of rocks, but you don't put any, what do you call that, plaster in between. What do you call it? The mortar.
Cement.
The cement in between to cement the rocks. You put heavy rocks one on top of another. Or, ogoder also berkonim vegoma kiyosvog. Or instead of rocks at all, you make a fence out of reeds or bulrushes, which is not the professional way of doing it. Vechenim also ma'akelagag. Or if you're making a patio on your roof, bayna se maise hedjit. You build it in a unskilled fashion, but, But if, and that's if it's talking about a roof that's not used that much. But it's a roof that's used a lot, then it's a whole different story, because then you have halachically, biblically, yeah, you have to make a ma'akeh to keep people's lives safe, and therefore you can even do it in a professional way if you're doing that.
I think you'd have to.
Yes. Avolko, selchotzer, shenofo, what about a wall to your courtyard? If that falls, and if that falls, there's a great danger that robbers will come and go right into your house, and that's a great loss is going to come. So boneo kedarko, you can build it in the normal way. And if the wall was tottering, it was leaning, and it means it's going to fall soon. So, and you got time acholamoid. So shavivne asakana, you'd knock it down because of the danger. And then boneo kedarko, you can build it regularly, so the robbers won't come in. So all things that you have to do on Yom Tov. Zion. Boina adam itztaba. A person can build a, what do you call it? Stafsol. A bench. Lay shave to sit on it. Olishan or to sleep on it. That you can do. I assume if you don't have any others. And also they say it would be an unskilled way.
You should do it before if you could though. Can you? You'd know you wouldn't
have.
Well,
let's say broke.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Hatsir Vatsinor Vahakora Vahamano Vamavteach Shinishbru. These are five things relating to a door. So the tzir is a hinge. The hinge breaks. The tzinor is hard to explain. So it's some kind of attachment. Yeah, but my commentary is a little bit different. It seems like an attachment for the hinge, something like that. It has to do with the door.
Yeah, that's
and a lintel, the hamanul, and the lock, the mafteh, and the key, shinishma, they all break. And obviously, if any one of them breaks, you have compromised your security. Then the saknam b'moi kedak, you can fix them up on chol amoid in the normal way. Bein b'shal barzel, bein b'shal etz. Doesn't matter if they're made out of iron, if they're made out of wood, doesn't matter. Why? Shezeh hefsed gadol. That's a big loss. Shim yaniach ha-pesach pasuach glos ha-shvus. If you leave the door open and the doors are broken, nim tzamabe komash, where he's going to lose everything that's in your house. Gavarayin already explained. Kol sheyesh bo hefsed, anything where there's a great loss. Ain a tzurach shinui, you don't have to make any kind of a shinui, it's allowed. And even if it breaks before Yom Tov, if you didn't have time to fix it for before Yom Tov, then you could fix it on Chol HaMoed. But if you purposely left it for Chol HaMoed, what's the halacha? You cannot fix it and just buy more insurance. Okay, next.
I think I know what they mean by a drain pipe here. Ever looked at the back of a truck and you see the hinge they open the truck with? It's, it looks like a pipe and the hinge fastens onto the pipe.
Could be. I don't know what you're talking about. But
in the Eretz Yisrael, they have the same kind of doors. Okay. They look like pipes. There's two pipes, and the hinges like fasten around the pipes, and you open the door like that. Like the tube turns. What turns, because the weight is so heavy, is the pipe just rotates, and it's connected to the door.
Okay. I guess so. It's hard for me to visualize it.
If you look at the back of the truck, you open the back of the truck.
No, I don't have a warehouse, yes. Howard.
all the trucks, if you look, they all have pipes in the back. They all work the same way. It's a big lever, and then it just they rotate on the pipes.
Okay. Look, so it could be a pipe. Was it a drain pipe?
Drain pipe. It's a pipe.
A pipe. Okay, good. Ches. Ein. Now here's an interesting one here. Ein choifrin kever liyis muchen lameish yomus. You don't dig a grave, so it's ready for somebody who's going to die.
Lovely.
You figure, well, my relative is dying soon. He might die after Yom Tov, and I might as well get the grave ready, because, you know, I won't be able to get it ready on time if I just start after he dies. So he's doing it on Chol HaMoed. Obviously, if the person died on Chol HaMoed, you could obviously dig a grave on Chol HaMoed. There's no question about it. We're talking about where you're expecting someone to die, and it could very well be he's going to die after Chol HaMoed. I'll explain in a minute a little more. But you want the grave to be ready, so when he dies, everything will go, you know, kaseder. So you can't do that. Now, why would the guy want to do it? So it's in one of these two places.
Maybe you should do it before Chol HaMoed, so you don't
have
to.
Let's see.
27.
One second. We're speaking about a place where the cemetery is located in a rocky terrain. And digging or building a grave takes several days. that not every place, you know, nowadays they got the machine and in 10 minutes they've made the grave. But in the olden days, you took a shovel and an axe and a pickaxe, whatever. Well, and if you're dealing with rocks, and you go to Hebron and those places, it's all rock. So to prepare a proper grave could take a long time. So and your relative is sick, you know, and it's a mitzvah, you know, to bury the dead as soon as you can. So you think that you could do that. So you can't do it on Chol HaMoed still.
Wouldn't you think a cemetery would sort of have one on standby? Because if it's so difficult, they just probably
It's a Jewish cemetery.
What would you do if in a case where, let's say even the person dies on Chol HaMoed, and it's a very difficult to make a grave, like it takes 7 days. What do you do?
Yeah, like if the ground's frozen and you're in Russia and it's, you know, like Chol HaMoed.
I don't know.
Like, is the halacha you can't bury until...
Listen, I would assume you would want to bury it as soon as you can, right? You're asking, well, since we can't, you're not going to get it done before Chol HaMoed anyway, why sound Chol HaMoed? But it decomposes a whole big problem.
Not if you're in the frozen in Russia, you just stick
it
in
the snow. I would assume you'd want to make haste in burying the body. There's all kinds of tikkunim that happen to the body once it gets buried, so I assume you want to do it as soon as possible. Anyway, now let's go to the next case of the graves. Also, what if the grave was dug, but it needs some repair? You can fix it on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so what's an example of that? You either make it a little bit bigger, or make it a little smaller. So then it'd be ready for burying, because that's not going to take a lot of time. So that would be okay. Test. Here's an interesting halacha. How about if you want to move a body from one grave to another on Chol HaMoed? You cannot remove, exhume, that's the word, you can't exhume a dead body, and we're not bones from one grave to another, and not even, even if you're taking it from an honorable burial place to a not such honorable place, or from a not honorable place even to a better place, you're giving a better burial place. You can't do that on Chol HaMoed. But the truth of the matter is, forget about Chol HaMoed, whatever all year long. But also last game of the other, you can't do it any time of the year, except Hayumafaneo Besoch Shalom. If you're gonna clear him out into the ancestral portion. In other words, I guess he got buried on the way home, whatever, let's say, and it wasn't really his ancestral portion. And now they want to bury him, you know, where Kevarovus is, where the family plots are. So that you're allowed to do the rest of the year. On Chol HaMoed, you can't even do that. Okay? Now, it's interesting, they bring down, why are you generally not allowed to exhume a body and move it? Because it's very confusing for the dead. What does that mean? Because when you take a dead body and take it out, and you're going to rebury it, they're afraid the body, or the soul rather, thinks that it's going to have another judgment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's terrified when this happens. And they bring all kinds of examples. For example, Shmuel HaNavi, when he was brought back by Shaul from the dead to come back to earth, he was frightened. He thought Hashem was calling him back to judgment again. He didn't realize what was going on. So the dead have a lot of trouble.
You mean you're judged before you're buried?
No. Yeah, you're judged once before you, after you die, before you're buried. But then if the body gets exhumed, the neshama sense something's going on over here.
I thought judgment happened after you were buried.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, after you're buried. But I'm saying, exhuming, moving the body, you're being moved around, so the neshama senses there's something new happening and there's probably a new judgment, just like when Shmuel had to come back to earth. So it's all kinds of Kabbalistic stuff that the body's just very fatumult from this. So that is the Radvaz quotes that, and then he says if that's the reason, then even to an ancestral portion shouldn't be allowed.
Right.
So he holds more, it's a question of bizoyin ames. It's insulting the dead. But then you could argue on that. You could say maybe he's nervous, but once he settles into the parental, ancestral grave, they don't be happy. And there was a little scare for something that's going to be better. You get a lot of nachas by being buried with your family. So that if it's the ancestral plot, You can move it at any day, even if it is the one on the road was an honorable burial plot, and the ancestral one is not such an honorable burial plot. It's still more nachas ruach for the neshama. Now, says the Ramban, he adds an important point. So too, we make an exception to take the dead bones out of Chutz Laaretz into Eretz Yisrael. That is also considered beneficial for the body, and their body is very happy about that. And also, a third example is, if when the person was buried, and they said initially, we're burying it, and it's only temporary, because we know this is not the spot we want it to be, then you can move it as well. So those are the examples. And it's all kinds of halachas there. You know, if, when you do, what did I say, exhume the body and reinter it, you have to do one day of Shiva.
On that day when you're moving.
It's a day of Avelos. It's a day of Avelos, because you're burying your father again, burying your brother.
So what do you do if, let's say, you're...
All kinds of halachas. All kinds of halachas that are involved with that. So I think when they rebury it, when it happens, it's complicated. But when you rebury it, you sit a day of Shiva. I never had the question asked, but so for the come on, I'll go through halachas more clearly. But there is, it's not so simple, it's just, you just do it. You have to, it's all kinds of Shiva. So you can see there's something going on. Something's going on with the neshama. Neshama is going through some great fright. We have to go through all this type of mourning. I mean, you could understand.
Well, that's for the
having to
too.
Watch your father or mother get buried a second time is not exactly...
Right, so I mean, is the Shiva for the body?
For both. It's like all Shiva. Shiva, any Shiva is for both. It's for both.
Right.
Yeah. For them, I'm sure if a person sees his father's body,
right, so that's doomed, easily understood,
and then reinterred, and the neshama suffering, and
everybody's
suffering. So
I thought there was a separation that the soul goes to the world of souls, and the
it does, but it connects. The kever is its periscope to the world. It's very much connected to the headstone, very much connected. Okay, moving away from that topic. Yeah.
Fill my one.
Yep.
Two things, actually. What other scenario would it be where you go from a more exalted place to a less exalted place besides the ancestral plot? Like, why would that scenario come up? Or is that the only one?
What do you mean, why? I don't understand what you're asking.
No, like, why would you take a body from a more coveted place to a...
Find out something.
I'll tell you like this. Let's say the guy died out of town.
Right.
So they gave, let's say he was a rabbi. Let's say he was a rabbi. He died out of town. So they gave him a chashuv spot. They put him next to the Vilna Gaon.
Okay.
Sure. Put him in a nice spot. But you know, the parents, the family said, you know, we want him buried with the family.
You're saying other than the ancestors.
So you know, yeah. The family, you got, you know, Joe Schmoigli, regular carpenter.
But Alan's asking other than moving to the ancestral.
Okay, but maybe because it's easier to visit.
So I don't understand. So why would you do it? What's the question?
No,
exactly?
I'm saying, like, in general, like, you would think you would, like,
You want him in a more honorable spot?
Yeah.
Because the neshama prefers to be next to its ancestors. There's a lot to be said for where you're buried. There's a lot of stories about where you're buried. Like, that's why we're very particular in cemetery business. You know, who gets buried where.
Right.
If people knew all the cheshbonos we made, we'd make a lot more enemies. They knew that, you know, if they'd heard certain halakas, then not everybody would appreciate. It's very important who you're next to. It's extremely significant. You have Gemaras. The Tagmor and Brachas talked about the two young girls who were buried, and they started talking to each other. You don't want to be buried. A man's not buried next to a woman unless it's his wife. There's all kinds of... It's a big deal who you're buried next to. And they tell all kinds of stories of, you know, Chevra Kedishas in the middle of the night in Yerushalayim. They had to bury this simple... beggar face, and it was a windstorm, and you know, there's no light and everything going to Har Menuchas, and then they you know, where he's supposed to be buried, and they can't see anything, and it's bitter cold and this and that, and they said, we're just finding the first grave, we put him in, and then they put him next to the Gadol HaDor, you know. What?
He's happy.
No, and then they're wondering what's going on and this and that, and then later you find out the story. I forgot which, I think it was the story of Zadel the Smith in Yerushalayim. One of these stories from Yerushalayim Shalmala, the heavenly city. I think it was Zadel the Smith, I could be wrong. He looked like a Pasha the Yid, and he got buried next to Mamish, the most chashuv Jew. I think, what's going on there? So it seems a few months later, this guy, this poor guy, he lived in a ramshackle, little nothing. So when they finally rented it out for storage, someone was cleaning it out, and they saw He had all kinds of ksavim, all kinds of writings that he, his personal notes on Kabbalah and this and that. It was an unbelievable hidden tzaddik that nobody knew about. So you hear these kind of stories, it's like very important where you get buried. It's not a small thing. And you want to be buried next to your family. It used to be a big, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, you saw, where you have the catacombs, you know, in the rock. And those were family ancestral burial places.
That's Sipori.
It's a lot of places like that. So that's very important. You want, you know, parents want to be with the children with the parents. It does a lot for their neshamas, even what we don't think is important. They'd rather be with my father than with the Vilna Gaon. You know, that's
one other question without getting political.
Yeah, last one. Then we got to go on.
When they exhumed the bodies from Gaza, when they expelled the Jews there recently.
Yeah.
Remember they exhumed from the cemetery.
Yeah.
And obviously the concern was because the Arabs were just
going sure. Yeah.
Desecrate.
But obviously that's a leniency if they're going to feel they're going to desecrate it.
Okay, so that's what I want to ask.
That's for sure, yeah. because that is it's the worst thing is to desecrate it. That's probably one of the biggest tragedies of all for that. Now you know they all had a sechiva. You probably didn't read about that.
Yeah.
Right? Can you imagine? I don't know how many.
It wasn't, thank God,
it was young families.
Yeah,
it was
like 35, 40.
Most people
40.
Killed by rockets.
Yeah. I'm just saying, can you imagine, you know, not only that they had their own tzaras to leave, but now when they take the parents out, not one day, but...
And mostly they were for kids or relatives who were killed from rockets.
That's terrible. Okay, Yud. Ein maslin es ha'ilonos. You're not allowed to remove worms from trees. There must have been some kind of a sophisticated system of how to extract worms from trees who are damaging the trees. And v'lo mazhinim es hanetios, and we can't stick fertilizer around trees whose barks have been peeled off from it. V'lo megazmim, and we're not allowed to chop off branches from trees. All these are not permitted because they're a tircha yisera. It's excessive work. So you cannot do this. Now obviously it looks like it's necessary in general, but it's, since the work is excessive, we don't allow you to do it. But you can anoint, you can smear oil on the trees and on fruits. You can smear them with oil. Why? Only if that enables you to eat them on Chol Hamoed. But otherwise, if it's just making the fruits better, we talked about that yesterday, making fruits better, but it's not going to make it eatable for Chol Hamoed or Yontif, you cannot do it. But Okrines HaPishta, you can rip out flax from the ground. What use do you have for flax? Because you're able to cover up fruits that are out to dry, you can cover them up, and then I guess they'll be edible for yontif. The kaitzin is that shoot, and you're allowed to cut, harvest hops. Because you can make beer out of an achol moed. Now all these things, they have to be ready and done, so you can use it either achol moed or yontif. It's not going to be ready for months afterwards. Obviously, you cannot do that.
Well, how long does it take to make beer?
I don't know, but it must have been a quick brew.
Yeah, I don't know anything about making beer.
Why is beer so important? I mean, like,
it's a big drink. It's a big drink.
For goyim, I can understand.
Jews drink beer. See the Gemara all the time. Beer and wine was a common drink. It was a common
wine,
drink.
Okay, but where's beer?
Beer tastes good. What do you want? It's
Egyptian. It must be so important for Jews.
Guess they like it. I don't know. You know. We don't bring sheep into the pasture on Chol Hamoed. In other words, it was customary. They would bring animals into the field. They'd sleep in the fields at night, and they would move around at night. Now, why would you want them out in the fields at night? Very obvious and practical reason. They fertilize the soil. Right? So you don't intentionally take them out to hang around in the fields if the point is for fertilizing it. Shehu midayer sodeva, because he's enriching his field on cholamoid, which is certainly not necessary to be done on cholamoid. But what if the animals on their own decide to go for a stroll into the field? Then mutter, you're allowed to let them go. You don't have to stop them. Also, they mesaina, so you don't help them. They mosinlam shemer lenarasatun. You don't also appoint a guardian, meaning a goy, to na'er. Na'er means to take it from place to place. so that that the fertilizer gets all over the field with aras etzon. Now, you don't hire a goy to walk the cow all the way around and make sure they cover every inch of the field and leave their deposits all over. Now, going back to an idea we spoke about yesterday, Schir Shabbos, if the worker was hired to work on a weekly basis, or Schir Chodesh, or on a monthly basis, or Schir Shon on a yearly basis, or Schir Shavuot on a 7-year basis, so then those workers, since the goyim, as we said, he's a jobber as opposed to a weekly, per diem job, then Messiah, so they can help the animals do what they have to do, because that's included in their price, it's not necessarily included in for Shabbos or Yontif. The Seichrin Shomer Lenar as Soinam Imakam Lamakam, Kadesh Yizabu Kalasan, you can hire such a Shomer to move the sheep around from place to place to fertilize the field. What did I put down over here? Okay, that's fine. Where am I now? Now, next point.
But not just for Cholamoid. You hire them.
No, for the whole year. They give on Cholamoid. Hazel Shabachatzer, what if you got excrement in your courtyard? So, you can put it to the side. That you're allowed to do, but you can't take it out of the courtyard. But if your courtyard is turning into a barn because there's so much in there, then motzino salash, but you can take it out and throw it into the garbage. Let's do one more halacha. Hamashva b'nei karka, if somebody levels the face of the ground in his field, let's say imi skavim l'taki malkum shamibo kri shel tvua, if you're preparing it for a reason that is going to be a reason that for a yontif purpose and not for the fixing of the field, then it'll be allowed, we'll see. So if it's to put a pile of grain over there, and that means, and his animal will be eating from it on Chol HaMoed, which you have to feed your animal. Oh, Shiyadish, you're going to thresh it in a way where you know that threshing is permitted if you're going to use that grain and make flour out of it. Then much you're allowed to do because it's for Yom Tifni. But if you're doing that, smoothing the ground because you want the land to be better, oh, you're not allowed to do it. Similarly, the kind of malaket eitzim b'dochse, if you're gathering sticks, branches of wood from your field, is it allowed or not? It depends. Because you need the branches. In other words, you're taking the big ones, you're leaving the small ones, because I need the big ones, let's say, to make a fire. Then mutter. It's mutter, because it's a yant, it's moid need. But if I'm moving the branches, because I want to fix up the land, I'm not allowed to. How would I know if I'm doing one or the other? You'll see what he's taking. If he's taking the big and the little, it's probably just the cleaning. If you take a specific one, it's probably just for a yontif need.
But can it also partially improve the land?
If it happens to improve the land, that's one thing, but that's not your main concern.
Right.
What if a person opens up water that it can go into the field? But what was his intention? He wants the water going into the field because imni skavin shekamsa doin, because you want the fish to come, let's say, from a tank, and you want the fish to come out and you easily catch the fish. Mutter, that's okay. But if you really want to do it to irrigate the ground, also you're not allowed to do that. Similarly, let's say you're cutting off branches from a date palm. If you're cutting it off because you want to feed your animal that, then mutter, you're allowed to do that. But if you're doing it to make the tree better, also you're not allowed to do it. Now, how are we going to know if you're doing it for the wrong reason or the right reason? Rambam says, from what he does, you will be able to tell what is it that he had in mind. So he explains like the different examples over there. So, for example, if a person removes both the thin twigs and the large logs from a field, obviously he's there to clean the field. Let's say he only removes the larger logs, then he wants firewood. If he opens up a dam but doesn't leave a place for the water to flow out afterwards, then obviously you plan on watering the field. But if he leaves a place for the water to go out, that means he wanted the fish. If he and the same thing, if he trims the tree, let's say if he trims the tree only on one side and not the other, it's obviously not to improve the tree, it's because he wants some firewood.
Right.
But if he's doing both sides equally, it looks very pretty and nice, then obviously he's doing it just for the tree. Good place to stop. Shkayach, we're almost done. Shkayach, guys.